Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here. Getaway Friday, October the 10th, 2025, 13 and a half minutes past the hour. Joined in studio today by Matt Morgan. Do want to remind everybody, the Kroger Kids Night Out is Monday, October 27th, 5 to 7 p.m. Join them for some fun games and spooky prizes. They'll also be collecting newly, gently used coats and hats and gloves to donate to the Salvation Army. Kroger Kids Night Out on Route 95 here in Marion, Monday, October 27th, 5 to 7 p.m., Ghost and Goblins Galore. So enjoy that on the 27th. And who knows, maybe we'll be doing something on Halloween with candy here at the studio. 740-383-9944 is the phone line that's open this morning. And again, as I always say, if you're a politician out there or you're somebody listening, I know a lot of times you don't call in for whatever reason, but feel free. Nobody's going to jump you. 740-383-9944. I still don't think we're just at 40 degrees. Now just at 40 degrees here on this Getaway Friday morning. All right. Well, let's go back to the phones here and see what's going on. Go ahead, caller.
I have a couple questions, Scott.
Oh, go ahead.
First off, how many people was on council?
How many people are on council?
Yes.
I believe is it nine? I think it's nine.
Okay. How many, and there's going to be 15 on the committee?
Yes.
Okay. How much does the council get paid?
You know, the council, they got a raise recently. I think it was this year. I think it's something, is it like $10,000 a year, I think?
Yeah, it's not much
boy,
at all.
Big bucks.
Yeah, big bucks. But they only have to work one day a week, unless somebody calls them.
Well, they work more than one day a week, I'll guarantee. But, okay, so how much, you said $10,000. So how much is the committee people going to get paid?
Nothing.
Oh, well, there's a savings.
Yeah, there's a savings there. But now, you got to pay the lawyer to make sure everything they're doing is legal.
But if, who's the lawyer for the council?
Mark Russell?
Mark Russell. Well, I seen the list yesterday of who's on the committee, and of that whole list of people, 15 people, how many of them are drawing a paycheck from either the city or the county?
Good number of them. Good portion.
So, we're going to hope, you know, they got the right, and every one of us could have signed up, so I'm not saying, you know, that's whatever it is, because we could have all joined in, but I'm not too sure about my brother voted yesterday, so he had the list of who was on the committee, and I looked down through there and I thought, well, criminy, how many of those are already drawing a paycheck from either the county or the city?
Well, this whole charter city is a very complicated thing because of the way...
Oh, God, we don't need complications.
No, we certainly don't, but we seem to fall into it here in Marion like nobody's business. It's very complicated because you've got 23 options, and 15 of those options will be chosen. So only 8 will go by the wayside. And you have so many former cop, sheriff, deputies, so on and so forth, and current office holders on that list. It's really a large number. Now, this has to say something to a lot of people in regard to what this charter city is really all about. And then you've got somebody like Robert Landon, who I know people are saying, now, the whole call for this charter city is essentially, we were sold on it, because the city's in bad financial shape. So of all people, somebody to run on the Charter City Commission, Robert Landon, people find that awful ironic.
Well, I just think, because I looked down through the list and I thought, well, every one of those either get a paycheck from the county or they get a check from the city.
Yeah, good portion.
Like I said, everyone, you and me included, could have signed up for that business. But I just think that it's, I'm not sure if this is the answer. And if 9 people on the council can't get along, how in the hell is 15 going to get along?
Well, there, you know, I've often said that this charter commission thing is very interesting. Because first, it's got to pass. Now, I know that there are people who signed up for that committee who did not want it to pass and basically just feel they're going to be there to preserve government in some way so people don't screw it up too much. Then there's a group, the group you're talking about, who do want it, but they're current office holders. So really what they want is to preserve their power, but they want to dump the treasurer and the auditor, and they want to make those internal positions. But a third group that I don't think anybody thought was going to come about is the group that does want the charter, but they want to change everything. They want to get rid of the mayor. They want to get rid of the treasurer. They want to get rid of the auditor. They might want to fool around with city council and make those at-large seats. They
now,
might.
Can you imagine what kind of a fiasco all that's going to be?
Well, and that's the thing. Herein lies the problem. I mean, Charter City has been brought up so many times in Marion, and it never made it out of city council to the voters for all the reasons we're talking about now. And to be honest with you, I'm still shocked that city council voted to send this to the voters, because basically they have given away all their power, and they could lose all their power.
They just wanted the monkey off their back.
Well, I don't know. They're running again. I would think if they didn't want to be in there, they just don't run.
Well, maybe they think that they're... I don't know, but I thought last night I was thinking about that, and I thought, well, how many of them really is going to be... And probably all of them, but really is... you know, they can't get along on the... Like I said, they can't get along on the council. So if you've got 9 that can't get along, how in the devil is 15 going to get along?
Well, and this is a question. I mean, you've seen council. Why do you think this council is so dysfunctional in that way?
Because whoever's supposed to drop the gavel doesn't drop the gavel, and don't let it get carried away.
Well, and everybody, we just talked about it last hour, but, you know, to have the mayor be gaveled, I mean, that is a rare, rare thing. I don't think
but
I've...
But if he is out of line, he should be gaveled. I don't care if he is the mayor.
Right, right. I think people feel that. But the fact that would happen, that it would get to a point where the mayor was that out of line with a citizen. I mean, this wasn't even another council member.
Well, and sometimes you've got some people on there that just, they would, I don't care if you give them water, they'd want ice water. So that's just the way they are. And I know the people on council are doing the best they can, but I know my brother said that he voted, and he said he almost wrote in Jason for the councilman at large. He really has a lot of respect for Jason, because Jason's been to his house 3 times, and he didn't stand on the stoop. He came in and talked to him. Like I say, I've lived here for 30 years, and since Imo left, I ain't ever had a person even leave a daggone card on the door.
Well, and here's the thing. You know, Jason is running for charter commission. I think some people forget that at some point.
Well, he said that's the only one he knew that was on that was running for charter committee was Jason.
Right. So I think that's interesting. You know, I'm not exactly sure what group he's in that charter commission idea, but you know, there's that. It's a very fascinating thing going on right now, and I'm not sure. Do you think charter commission is a popular idea in and of itself?
Because well, now, I had heard this somewhere, and most of my gossip comes from you, But I had heard this, that there's only three cities of our size in, I don't know, the state or whatever, that are not charter cities.
Somebody said that. I don't know if that's fact or not.
And did anyone ever, of the leaders, did any of them ever go down to Johnny Jones, that is a charter committee, and say, hey, how's this work? Are you satisfied with it? Do you get along any better than you did when it was just council? But like I say, if four or nine of them can't get along, how in the devil's 15 going to get along? And we're paying out. Well, no, no. Our savings is they don't get paid. So there we go. That's a plus.
Right, except for the lawyer.
Yeah, except for the lawyer, and he should just donate his time, but I don't suppose he will. But I just get tired of hearing all the negatives of this and this and this and running down whatever. He is the elected mayor, and if he hears what everybody else hears, I don't understand why he doesn't, try to make it different. Maybe he's just not designed to be the mayor. I don't know, but I'll guarantee you he ain't getting paid enough for the sweat he has to go through, whether he's right, wrong, or indifferent. But he's still the doggone mayor.
Well, he is, but I think that's the big conundrum here. I think the big conundrum, you know, we had 32 years of two men. Now, that's a long time. That's a lot of, that's some lifetimes for people who lived here in Marion. And when you have 32 years of two men, and those men are very accessible, and those men are accessible to the media, accessible to the council, accessible to the public, and then you have one who gets gaveled by council for saying things to a citizen who doesn't like to do media or doesn't like to do certain media, has friends and not friends. You know, it's kind of, whether they're the mayor or not, it does change the dynamic, and it does change the tone of what's going on.
When they said, well, he didn't know or whatever, good grief, he's worked for the city or the county his whole life. You learn their jargon and what stuff means. You know, well, you just can't do that. That's just not the way it is. And then he does it anyway. So he kind of gets his in a ringer anyway.
Well, and that's it. And I also think, I used to say, and I think anybody who attended a council meeting under Jack Kellogg or under Scott Schertzer, with whatever council was there at the time, now, not to say there weren't arguments, and not to say that there weren't disagreements, because there were. They were just handled in a different way. They were not long-term, and they were not as nasty and as continuous. I mean, there hardly is a Monday night in the last 2 years where there is not somebody yelling at somebody, accusing somebody of something, calling somebody a name. I mean, it's a rarity, and it's been issue after issue after issue after issue. It was the bus for a long time. It was the auditor for a long time. It's been the treasurer at points. It's been buying equipment without getting bids. It's been the city budget. It's been all these things. I mean, I don't understand why nobody can quite get a grip on these things, and the only way to answer these problems seems to be lash out.
Well, but, Scott, think about it. You go to the highest office in the United States, and did you ever, well, I'm lots older than you, but never did I ever hear anybody talk about the President of the United States like, and or did the President of the United States ever do what the President of the United States does now? Just because he, you know, it's like they don't have to answer to anybody.
Well, I'm glad you brought this up, and not to get too much into national politics, but I was going to bring this up at some point today anyway. You know, somebody should be paying attention right now, and I think some are, but Letitia James, the New York Attorney General who indicted Donald Trump while she was there, has now been indicted herself on bank fraud. Comey, the former head of the FBI, has now been indicted. Now, these were people that Donald Trump said specifically in a text, a tweet or whatever he does, that they needed to be prosecuted. Hey, Attorney General, why haven't these people been prosecuted? We're saying bank fraud and perjury, but do we know? The Attorney General, Pam Bondi, was in front of the Senate this week and didn't answer a thing in a three-hour session with the Senate. And people should really start to be paying attention. Are we really prosecuting people here to be vindictive? I mean, is this really happening in the United States? Are we trying to silence people with the FCC because we don't like what they say? I mean, you know, there was a story last week in Illinois where an apartment building was raided by ICE, and old people were made to go sit outside on the sidewalk, and kids had plastic bracelets put over their hands so they couldn't move around. And to my knowledge, I still don't know if anybody was arrested in that apartment building. Are people paying attention to what's going on in the country?
Well, it's because it seems to me like our leaders are not demanding respect.
Well,
and
I don't.
They're not teaching our kids. I mean, you know, when we do away with everything that kept the United States together, does the kid say the pledge in the morning at school?
They did when I was there. I'd assume they still do.
Maybe.
So, you know, are they taught the respect of the flag? Because, you know, they're not taught it at home, probably. But there's just some things that you, like my mom used to say, they're the leaders, and we will respect them for the office. And now, it's just, if I can jab you before you jab me, I'm gonna.
Well, and I think that's... You know, when we did the Mary Ellen birthday party last week,
bless her heart.
Yeah, a lot of politicians were there, and one of them, we had a 17-minute video which looked back on her career in public service, and one of the politicians came up to me after and said, "I had tears in my eyes watching that because that's how it used to be." You know, people respected their politicians, and their politicians respected them. And
well, it's like I told you one time, Scott, when Eisenhower was elected, my mom and dad was always Democrats, and the kid said, well, you'd come to school. We were probably in the fourth or fifth grade. We didn't even know the difference. And he was kind of taunting me because my person didn't get elected. I went home and said to Mom, and Mom says, well, that's true, but he still is our president, and he demands the respect of the office. Now, whoever tells their kids that now?
Well, I think for a lot of parents now, it's a little more difficult. I don't remember Eisenhower doing some of the things that the current presidents do.
Well, but Eisenhower was respected for his part in as a officer and so forth, and people did respect him. Nobody respects anybody. No, I shouldn't say it, nobody. That's a big scope. But, you know, how many times did you ever see somebody at the grocery store? And, Scott, you're at the grocery store. If some old person's trying to get their groceries in the car and a young or two or five out there in the parking lot, how many ever walks over and says, here, let me help you with that? First place, the older person's about half scared because they don't know if they're going to knock her over the head and take her money or whatever. But it's just different. It's a very, and I give it back to social media because everybody's right.
Well,
if you heard it on social media, then you can say, I got a nephew like that. Hey, he knows. He's on top of it. He doesn't know beans from apple butter.
Well, that's true. But you know, and I think in most cases people would help the older person at the grocery store.
I've had him help me.
Yep. But I also think there is an idea that if you've worked in that atmosphere a long time, you've also been screamed at by a lot of older people for odd reasons.
Well, because they're scared. They're not sure what your intentions are.
Right. So I think there is that barrier that's there now as well. And I think it's society is a very strange place. I mean, by and large, it truly hasn't changed all that much. If somebody's in danger, people are there to help them. If somebody
to get it on their screen.
Yeah. But what has changed is that, you know, I was talking with Pastor Whitaker last week. I said, okay, let's say you agree with somebody on everything. You agree with them on everything. But they do something that you find awful. Now, where is your line? Now, do you continue to support that person even though you agree with them on everything because they've done something awful? Or do you say, you know what, that's a line too far? And I don't know where people's lines are. I think the lines have gotten pushed back a lot further than they used to be.
A lot of it, Scott, is just communication. How many people talk to each other, talks to their neighbors? How many people, when they're standing in line, or like my brother says, you sit in the doctor's office, you used to sit there and discuss, start out with the weather. Now, everybody's on their phone, and nobody says anything to anybody.
Well, nobody talks, period. And I think that's, as I've said all this week, I think that's a big failing of our politicians now, is the ones who do not speak to the media, and they do not do that. It's not hurting the media because we continue to speculate and report the stories anyway. It's hurting them because they never get to explain what they're doing and why they're doing it. And then people are just left to believe that they're doing strange things, and maybe they have a coherent explanation, but we never hear it.
Well, that's true. And sometimes if you hide, then everyone's speculating that you got something that you don't want nobody to know about.
That's right.
So, hey, bless the people that do it, but I'm glad we don't, if the charter goes through, we're going to save some money.
We'll save a little bit, and the conversations will continue here. Hey, thanks for calling.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And again, phone lines are always open here, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Well, a lot to digest there. What do you think, Matt?
Well, I mean, I think that by and large, I mean, even when you talk to people, a lot of times people don't talk back to you. Like, they just stare at you. So, I mean, I don't know a whole lot about what to do with that.
Go ahead, caller.
That lady was so refreshing to hear. She sounds like she has common sense in spades.
Yes, she's a very, very smart, coherent woman.
And I wish I would have known who she was before the deadline for candidates for the Charter Commission, because I think she would be an invaluable member of that Charter Commission.
I think you might be right there. We'll see what goes. We'll see how it goes.
We can only cross our fingers. And I and her perspective on that, I feel vindicated, because I thought I was the only one that thought, what's the mayor doing? We've got all of these people who shouldn't be running that are just there to protect their rice bowls, etc. So whoever that lady is, hey, good on you, and thank you.
Thank you. Well, see, now there's a kind thing to say about somebody. See, we need more of that.
Well, that's, you know,
kindness.
Yeah, kindness is always good.
And again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. You know, most of the time people just want to say negative things. And I've always said this, it's much easier to be negative than positive. But, you know, who calls it? I said, you know, I really like that. I really enjoy that. I really think that's good. It's much easier to be negative. And I don't, okay, I guess. I don't think it does much.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, being negative, I think you upset people.
Friend, but, you know, it's interesting because friends don't talk to each other, really. You know, they talk past each other. They don't. If there's a problem, people don't really want to solve it. They just, you know, we're not going to talk. It's a funny world we live in. It's a very strange atmosphere to be in a lot of the time.
Like,
if you really cared about what somebody thought, if you really cared about a friendship, and you thought that there was a problem, normally you try to fix that problem. People don't. That's not the tack they take anymore. Now the tack they take is, well, we'll just leave it alone until something happens.
Well, I think they usually the term is just like agree to disagree, and they move on.
But why can't you disagree about that, but yet still deal with the friendship? That's what I don't understand.
Well, isn't that what agreeing to disagree is?
No, I'm not. I think we're talking about two different things. I'm talking about there's a problem in the friendship.
A problem like what?
I don't know anything. You disagree about something. Somebody ticks somebody off. You know, it happens from time to time. That happens, and you realize that there's a problem there. There's some kind of dysfunction. But yet, nobody addresses the dysfunction, even though you know it's there, because I guess you just expect it'll get better, or maybe you don't want to be the one to say, hey, you know, this is causing a problem. Or maybe you just don't care. Maybe you got other people around.
Everything always ends up fine in the end, I guess.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't.
I think it's fine.
You think everything's fine?
Well, because it's always been fine.
No, I don't think it is always fine.
It always gets better. It'll always get worse, too, but it always gets better.
No, you think the country's at the height right now?
Oh, no, but I said it always gets worse, too. But, you know, I think when, inevitably, Donald Trump either leaves office and we get a new president, or he, you know, dies in office, because that, you know, at this point could be a possibility, I guess. Then I think at that point we might possibly start being on the up and up.
I don't know.
But there's also a possibility that whoever comes in after him does the same exact thing, because now they know you can just get away with it. So there's always that possibility now as well.
So if tomorrow you went to the doctor and they said, we've got to amputate your arm, that's not going to get any better. Your arm ain't coming back.
No, but I'm also not going to be, like, massively. I mean, I don't know. I've never had an amputation, so I don't know what you feel.
Trust me, you'll remember it for the rest of your life.
Yeah,
if you get in a car accident, God forbid, and they say you're confined to a wheelchair, that's not going to get any better. And I'll tell you, you are going to think about it every time you can't do something that you used to do. So things don't always get better. You adjust.
Yeah, adjust.
Adjust, but that's different than getting better.
I know.
Yeah. Adjust is, I can't do anything about it, so I have to deal with it this way. Getting
better at dealing with it. You get better.
Oh, I don't know if you always do. A lot of suicides.
I don't know. Didn't get help, I guess.
But it didn't get better for those people.
Well, again, I mean,
I don't think people who've lost children, I don't think it ever gets better for them. I think they have to. They're forced. What are you going to do? You've got to go on. You're not going to end your life, but I don't know how you get over it. People who still talk about their parents who are 85 years old, and when they talk about them, they still cry.
You think it's
because it got better? It didn't get better. They just, what are you going to do? You can't bring them back.
Well, yeah, I mean, they got better. I mean, like...
No, that's not better. That's just, I've adjusted.
Is that not getting better? Adjustment?
No.
Yeah, that's like adapting.
Better.
Adapting literally just, like, if you are adapting, you are now better at living in the environment you are in. That's adaptation.
Yeah, but it didn't get better.
What do you mean? You are now better at living in the environment you are in. That's better.
No, I don't think you are.
I mean, the environment, I guess, might not be better, but you are better. You have now adapted.
You're not better. I think that's a... Well, that's an early 20-year-old's perspective. You have to go through something horrible to understand that you don't... Why do you think an 80-year-old whose parents have been dead for 30 years old, if you mention them, will still cry. You think it's because it's better for them?
Well, no. I mean, you've known your parents since you've been alive.
Right, but why isn't it better? Everything gets better. It's been 30 years since they died. Well, why are you still crying?
Well, why are you not massively depressed? I mean, I assume when your parents die, you were massively depressed for a while. I'd assume, I mean, if it didn't get better, you would be massively depressed for the rest of your existence.
I think you always are with that issue, but it's kind of like a scar. When you see it, when it's brought up, you talk about it. But you don't see it all the time. I mean, when you're asleep, you're not thinking about these things. All right, go ahead, caller.
Physically better or mentally better?
Well, either one.
Well, you're kind of melding back and forth. One's talking about one that's physical, and one's about, mental. So, pick one pathway and talk it out, and then explore the other pathway.
All I know is that I went to school with a girl, and she wasn't a close friend of mine at all, but she used to come in, I forget where I was, it may have been the grocery store, but I can't remember exactly, but it'd been a long time since we were out of high school. I would see her, and when I would see her, I would say hello. It looked like she was living a pretty productive life. I mean, I thought everything was okay, and she committed suicide. So whatever was, she was functioning. And you would have thought she was okay. What my interactions with her were fine. But, you know, something was there. Something was wrong. You know, we had a homecoming queen in Harding 20 years ago. Committed suicide. This is somebody who's 18 years old. About to go off to college. Was the homecoming queen that year. Committed suicide before the year's over.
In seventh grade over at Taft, one of the band members, I think it was the ninth grade, committed suicide.
Yeah.
Ninth grade.
Exactly.
And it was a shock, but we never had grief counselors or anything like that, you know?
Well, and Mary, who's out here listening this morning, Mary is saying, you do not get better. Trust me. Lost my mom 18 years ago. Still hurts.
I'm not saying it's not going to hurt, but I assume you were doing much better now than when she died originally.
It's a great argument because we need more mental health services for people out. There are people out there hurting, and they're walking around. If they don't do harm to someone else, they'll probably do harm to themselves. That's why we need to support mental health, and we really need to have good counselors, grade school up, to be able to spot potential hazards that could develop into catastrophic endings.
Yeah, but you know, a lot of this is situational, and this is why I feel you can't say things are going to get better, because if you're living with your parents, let's say you're 17 years old, you're living with your parents, and God forbid one of them dies, you're going to see the chair that they sat in, you're going to have to get rid of their clothes, you're going to see the cereal bowl they ate out of, their favorite coffee mug, that's their house. You're going to see that. You're going to be in a completely different situation than the child who's maybe 25 who was no longer living with them. Now, does that mean the child who's 25 feels it less and is better? No, they're just not confronted with the same issues that you are because you lived with them. But the child who's 25, now, is it going to be on their mind all the time? No. But you can guarantee the first time that somebody says, you know, I remember Melissa Rivers, Joan Rivers' daughter, saying that she thought she was okay with her mom dying until she was in a car with her fiancé, and they were coming back from a trip overseas, and her fiancé got on the phone to call his parents to say, I made it home okay, and she had nobody to call. And that's when she missed her mom. It wasn't any better. It was just...
That was a trigger that sparked a response that brought her to the realization that she, you know, maybe a conditioned reflex that she used to do, and now you know, it just triggered that.
Right.
So the sorrow was brought back up.
And anybody who's lost a child will tell you it does not get better. You have to deal with it because there's no alternative. But
that's one of the unfortunate things to be a parent. Parents should go before their children.
Exactly. You know? And I think that's when you lose a child. I mean, I have seen so many people, when they lose a child, they withdraw from society. They get sick because they don't
well,
go
out. Here's somebody with a high profile that did exactly that. Dean Martin, when he lost his son.
Absolutely.
He went into his own cocoon.
It took about 10 years, but yeah, eventually was done. And you don't fight as hard if you get sick. You don't have the desire anymore to live. So it's not better for you. You live because that's what you have to do. But it doesn't get better. You're never able to coalesce.
It could be at a level 10. And maybe over the years it drops down to a level 4. But it's always there.
Now this is very Brenda, who's out there listening. I've lost 2 husbands, 2 children, and a great grandson, as well as my parents in my lifetime. You have to move on with your life, but there is always an emptiness in your heart, as well as many memories. Parents should never bury their children, and I think that's right.
Yeah.
I think it's always there.
You know, and two, it's exacerbated by, was it a natural death? Was it a disease? Was it negligence, a drunk driver, so on and so forth? Those just, a hackneyed phrase, add insult to injury.
Yeah.
And further worsens that tragedy.
And how many times have we ever heard when somebody loses a child, they say they were never the same after that? So I just heard that recently about somebody who lost a child, and they said, you know, they were never the same after that.
Well, your whole life, hopes and dreams have been altered.
Gosh, I wish I could remember who that was said about, but they had lost a child and said they were never the same. That was kind of the end for them,
mm-hmm.
even though they lived. Yeah, thanks for calling.
Let me get out of here. I've been on too much.
Yeah. No, I think it's a very interesting conversation to have, but I think it gets better if you're 22, but I don't think those things don't really get better. There is no option but to live, but it's always there, and it wasn't there before, so it never is going to get better. It's never going to be like it was. And you, holidays, that's why the highest suicide rate is during the holiday season.
Okay, but again, when somebody passes away or dies, however you want to phrase it, okay, I assume it hurts a lot more than it does 5 years down the line.
Not really.
I mean,
a lot of times that's the easiest time because you're busy. You're planning things. It's new. You haven't really fully accepted the idea. A lot of people say the worst time is when everybody leaves and goes back to their regular life.
Which would be shortly after the funeral.
Yeah, but that's when it gets worse. It doesn't get better.
Yeah, but that's not years later.
No, but it doesn't get better after that. You don't whip up out of that. That becomes your new normal.
Yes, if it becomes your new... Yes.
But it doesn't get better. You never stop missing them less. It never becomes any type of, I'm good with that.
I don't think you have to be okay. I mean, there's no other option but to be okay with it. I mean, I assume when you do something that you usually, like holidays, you know, usually a family thing, I assume you're going to miss your family. But, like, you're not, over time, I'd assume it gets easier.
Doesn't.
Well,
that's the assumption that's wrong. Like I said, it's like a scar. You don't think about it all the time, but you don't think about it all the time when it's happening. because you're busy. People are saying they're sorry. People are trying to keep you busy. People are trying to do things. But when it comes to those moments, those triggers, like Melissa Rivers, she had nobody to call when her fiancé's calling his parents. It triggered it. And there's just no, you're going to have those triggers the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, and if you get sick.
I'm not saying you're going to forget about the people.
No, but you act as if you get better. Better is to say, oh, I'm okay with that now. I'm doable. That doesn't happen. A lot of times, I ran into somebody recently who found out they had a fairly bad illness. And you know, but the first thing they said, if my mom were still here, you know, I could get through this better. Because your mom is the one who takes care of you. The mom is the one who's always there. That was, it triggered them right back. And their mom's been gone for more than a decade. But it triggered it right back to there. It never gets better. That's why when people say they get over something. No, you don't get over it. You get through it. Because you what's the choices? But you don't ever really, and a lot of times as you get older, you become more emotional about these things because you start to see your own mortality. And that becomes awful to you.
I mean, what do you mean you start to see your own mortality?
Do you think somebody who's 90 right now, even if they're in the greatest health in the world, thinks their life is at the height right now?
I could have a heart attack and die tomorrow.
That's not the point. Do you think somebody who's 90, who's lived a long time, outlived the life expectancy, who is perfectly healthy...
Okay, let me put it this way. I'm sure at some point you wake up in the morning and you get to thinking, huh, you know, I've probably seen more sunsets and sunrises than I'm going to see from this point on.
But does that get better?
I assume it's some kind of realization, but I don't think it's anything new. I mean, like...
Do you think if they get 91, 92, they get better with that? It gets better?
I assume you become... I mean, what other option do you have? Yes, I assume you become more comfortable with the idea.
I don't think you do.
I don't think you're ever excited or ready, but I think at some point you're like, well...
No, I don't think you do. I think...
Like, I think right now I'm probably more scared of dying than... Like, if I made it to, like, I don't know, 90s or something.
You think that.
When I get elderly, I think I'll be less scared of... Cause, like, I mean...
Nobody wants to leave.
No, I'm not saying, again, yes, I agree. Nobody wants to leave. You know, I like life infinitely more than not life, you know?
But why do you think a 90-year-old is more okay with that than a 20-year-old?
Well, there's a 70-year gap there. 70 years is a long
time. So you just say, well, I've lived enough.
You've lived three times longer than I have if you're 90.
Okay.
Four times.
So anybody who's older should feel better about death than somebody who's younger. Because they've lived longer.
Well, I don't know that you necessarily... It just... I don't know how to phrase it. I think you just... I don't know how to put it. You just become more... I mean, you just become more okay with it, I guess. I mean, I don't think you... Again, I don't think you want it.
I'll tell you what.
I still think you fear it. I mean, death is a scary process.
Go spend a month in a nursing home and see how it's getting better for those people.
But also, never mind, that's irrelevant, but...
Those people are not happy. Those people are dealing with it, because again, when you're faced with no other option, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
But that's not getting... You seem to think, because you're faced with no other option, that you get better. You think, oh, okay, this is okay. Well, that's not what happens. What happens is you hate it.
The logic I've always run with is, if there's not a thing I can do about it, why am I going to care about it?
Well, but how many big whoop-de-doos have happened in your life where you were faced with anything really horrid? You said the other night you do not want to live with your parents right now. But if you had no other option, you would have to. You would have to do it. But I don't think you want to. I don't think you ever get okay with it. Or else, why were you not okay with it to begin with?
Well, that's more of a me thing.
Like, well, whatever, it's me thing with everybody. Everybody's got their things.
Well, no, like, I don't know. I just don't
want... I'm sure homeless people are not thinking, this is better. You know, I was homeless last week, but this is better this week.
You ever hear of a guy named Diogenes?
Yeah. Are you going to hit a philosophy thing on me?
Well, I mean, I can tell you the story. Diogenes is one of my favorite people of all
time.
But
I'm dealing in reality.
Diogenes is real.
No, you're dealing in philosophy.
Diogenes is real.
But you hit me with his philosophy.
Well, he enacted his philosophy. I mean, he was a homeless man. He did it. I mean, he was a scholar. Right. He could have worked at a university had he wanted.
I'll tell you
what, you know, homelessness is all right.
Well, drive through the Walmart parking lot and get one of those homeless people and ask them how they feel. That's reality. Say, hey, here's a quarter. It's better for you now.
Diogenes was real. Okay. He seemed to be okay.
No, I'm saying, do you think if you go swing through the Walmart parking lot where the homeless people are and throw a $5 bill at them and say, there, now it's better. They're going to say, yeah, life's better now.
No, I mean, because I think they're worried about money if you're out there begging.
But you gave it to them. You gave them some money.
Yeah, but what are you going to do with $5?
Oh, it always gets better. It's better than not having $5.
Right. I mean, yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I do believe Diogenes was constantly obsessed with looking for an honest man.
He was, yeah. He'd shine a lantern in people's faces, and when they'd ask him what he was doing, he'd be like, you know, I'm looking for an honest man. I haven't found one yet.
Well, it sounds like he might have been a little cracked.
Oh, he liked to insult people. That was his whole thing.
He probably was. And if I recall, I could be wrong on this, but I think they cut his hands off. I might be thinking of someone else. I can't remember. So I don't think it was Diogenes.
I think they just...
All right. Thank you.
It was... Thanks.
Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. But the bottom line of this... Well, there you go. The bottom line of this conversation...
They throw a bone at him. Okay.
Is I think that's one of the problems we have now, is that things are okay, things will get better, and that's a very, throw it away, as things continually get worse. Worse, 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 worse. Get better, get better, get better. But if that's true, we would be on the road to better. It's not.
Well,
it just isn't. And that's a big problem. Somebody, and we're just started with Marion City government. Do you think it's better now than when you started paying attention to it?
I mean, on a Marion level? I guess not. But I guess not.
Well, why didn't it get better? We've had 2 years. Well, I started paying attention 2 years ago.
But on a global scale, the world has gotten significantly better.
No, but I'm talking about Marion government.
Well, I'm talking about a global scale.
Okay. You said everything, so I can talk about
Marion.
Everything
would be the Earth. Yes, the entire globe is everything.
So you think the city of Marion's better now than it was 2 years ago?
I think that the world itself is in a better place now.
So you're dodging.
Marion itself, no. But yeah. I think the world as a whole, yes.
So everything does not.
The world outweighs Marion.
Okay, but that's not everything. You said everything. And Marion's part of everything.
Okay, yes.
So everything doesn't get better.
Okay.
That's all the time we have this hour. We'll be back.
That was... Mm-hmm. Had you ever seen a primary like that in your life?
You mean Abraham Lincoln?